Miss an interview? Listen to it now at 1043thefan.com. Brought to you by First Bank. You work hard for your business, so should your bank. Talk to a First Bank business specialist today. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC.
We have Pedro Gomez here with us on the line. Pedro, I know it's a busy day, and you just got off a call yourself. We really appreciate you stopping by here on Stokely and Zach on The Fan in Denver. There's so much information out there. What should fans know, and maybe what did you just learn?
Here's what I think fans should know, that just because the owners may be proposing an idea or a plan to the Players Association, it by no means are we even close. This is the starting point of a negotiation. You've also got to consider that the ideal plan has all 30 clubs playing in their home stadiums. Well, you may not get every municipality to agree to have more than 10 people gather in their cities. There still may be some cities that are against that. If that's the case, those teams may have to move, say, to Arizona, Texas, or Florida, where that type of activity would be allowed. Short of that, look, if they can't get these 19 municipalities to agree, because some states have two teams, some states have five, like California. California may say, no, absolutely not. Now, all of a sudden, it throws a huge wrench into everything. So the idea that there could be 10 teams in Arizona, 10 in Texas, and 10 in Florida, and they all play each other only during these 80, 81 games, whatever it is, that could also gather more steam. But the sticking point probably will still be money. It always is, and it would not be surprising if that is the sticking point. Here's the issue, that players have agreed to, we're only going to get paid for the games we play. So if you play 50% of the games, you're going to get 50% of your salary. The owners, however, are going to counter and say, yes, but with those 50% of the games played, we're still going to miss out on about 40% of our revenue, because 40% of our revenue comes from game tickets, concessions, parking, you know, those type of activities. So they're going to say to the players, if we're only going to make X amount of revenue, we would split it with you 50-50. The players are going to counter and say, we're the ones taking all the risks. We're the ones exposing ourselves to 100 or so people a day when you include the other clubs and anybody else that's associated with a club. It's probably about 100 people. They're going to have the discussion saying, wait, we're the ones taking all the risks. We're then going home to our wives, our children, our parents, whomever, and we're potentially exposing them. If we're taking the risk, we're not willing to take these reductions. That, I think, is going to be the biggest sticking point right there. I hope I did that in a very
That was great.
Yeah, Pedro, that was awesome. Thank you again for stopping by. I know you're super busy today, and we certainly appreciate it.
I'm sorry that I couldn't call earlier.
Oh, it's okay.
No, you're great. Cool. Pedro, my question is, does this thing have a chance to get ugly to where all of a sudden, you know, the players and the owners just can't get on the same page and we see a work stoppage or hey, you could play, but, you know what, they just can't come to an agreement here because they're fighting over, the revenue split?
Well, Brandon, you played pro sports. You know the fact that the players tend to lose the PR battle with the public. And I think that's probably kind of the owners are counting on that again. There's 30 owners, and a lot of them are anonymous to a lot of people. The players are the ones they see. And the public could just say, why? Just shut up and get out there and play. Well, there's more to it than that. And I think it absolutely has a very good possibility of getting ugly. And I think the players are going to hold their ground on this. I think the players felt like the recent CBA a few years ago, they may have taken some steps backwards, and they're not going to continue to take steps backwards. The next collective bargaining agreement is after the 2021 season. This very well could be a first kind of shot fired by ownership that, hey, these are kind of the issues we're going to talk about in the next CBA, revenue sharing, things like that. And these are things the players are not interested in talking about. So it's like anything, it's always a domino effect. It's not necessarily what is happening today that matters today. It also could matter a year and a half from now when this CBA is done.
That's an interesting point. Pedro Gomez joining us here on Stokely and Zach. I got to piggyback on kind of the direction that Stokely just started to go. Does baseball have a real chance if they can't figure it out? And it does get very ugly. And there's an avenue to get baseball back. And because of the, you know, game of chicken between millionaires and billionaires, is there a chance that baseball could really get harmed here from a perception standpoint, with the understanding just how many people in this country are out of work, have been furloughed, really struggling to get by, the risk of the image of baseball?
No doubt that risk absolutely exists. I think the game is really resilient, though, and that's probably more of a short-term issue than it is a long-term issue. At least that's how I look at it. I do truly believe that, look, even though they may, the owners have a plan and they're going to propose it to the players supposedly today, that doesn't mean that things are going to move quickly by any means. And it doesn't also mean that it's going to be a final decision where things can play. Look, if governors in some states say, absolutely not, these games are not going to take place in our state or our city, you know, a mayor could say that. Now all of a sudden it's out of everyone's hands. And that's why I think maybe the 3-10 teams playing in Florida, Texas, and California has some opportunity, because you've got three governors in those three states that are already on the record as being more friendly toward this type of activity. But again, player safety is going to be paramount in all this. And if the players believe that they're taking all these risks without an additional benefit on their side, I don't know that it's going to happen.
Well, this is interesting, because I'm already seeing on our text line here in Denver, like, you know, the players taking risks. How about the workers and the grocery stores and being exposed?
Well, yes, absolutely. No. There's no doubt about all of that. But again, the players have a players association that fights for their benefit.
Yep.
And, you know, grocery store workers, if they're unionized, their union should be doing the same thing. The nurses, the doctors, they're taking enormous risks, far more than anybody else is. Right. So there's no denying that. But the reality is that the Players Association has a job to do to fight for its members, and its members are the players. So, as much as, you know, it's not easy to see, that is the reality, that the Players Association is hired by the players to defend them and make sure that they are good and that they're getting everything that they can possibly get. And if you look at professional sports, I don't think there's ever been a union as strong as the Baseball Players Association.
Yep,
and
Brandon,
you played in the NFL.
Yeah.
I think you probably see it. When you see an NFL player whose pension, when they turn 65, Brandon, I don't know what yours is going to be, but I don't think it's going to be what Major League Baseball players get. At age 65, a Major League player who played 10 years gets over $250,000 a year starting at age 65. An NFL player, I think the last I heard, it was like $8,400 or something, or $12,000. It's ridiculous, the difference.
Yeah,
and,
no,
the Players Association has fought for that for the players.
Yeah, they've done a good job. And like you said, Pedro, like, once you start making concessions now, well, when you go to collective bargain in a year or two to do a new CBA, well, guess what? They're going to want more concessions. They think they got you. So at some point, you got to look out for your players, and you have to dig your heels into the ground and put up a little bit of a fight, or you just always get pushed over. Pedro, last one for me, and we know you're super busy, and we thank you for your time. Spring training, what would that look like? Is that going to Arizona and going to your ballparks there for 3 weeks in the Florida?
I think ideally what baseball would like is for all 30 clubs to each go to their home stadiums. The Rockies would go to Coors Field and have a 2 or 3 week spring training at Coors Field, but it would not be, the Rockies would not play another team. They wouldn't go and play the Royals or the Rangers or anybody else. You would just be amongst yourselves, and then at the end of 2 or 3 weeks, whatever is the plan, they would just start playing games. Real games. So that is how spring training, what I have heard, that is plan A. That's also the most cost-effective plan for owners, because you wouldn't have to fly everyone to Arizona, put them up, rent cars, meal, all of those things.
Right.
You would just go to your city, to Denver, And, you know, the Rockies would just spring train there. They get their own places. They as they do during the season when they play, pay for their own places to live, even if they don't live in the Denver area full time. So that's the most cost effective, but that's my understanding ideally. But again, if you have a local health administrator or a mayor or a governor who says absolutely not, well, it throws a wrench into a lot of different things.
Wow. Very last question. We're way over, and we've already kept you too long as it is. But
I'm good. I know that I called in late, and you guys are the ones that
It's totally cool. I guess I'll ask you this. We will not hold you to this. It's pure speculation because it's May 12th. But if I asked you a yes or no question.
Here's my answer. 30 to 35% they play.
Wow.
If that was the question.
In general, you're talking about the season. Because I was going to say yes or no, baseball's back by mid-July.
I would say 30 to 35 that they even play. And I don't believe it has to do at that point with the financial part. I believe it will be the science.
Okay. Wow.
I believe it'll be the science more than it will be the financial arguments or the haggling, whatever you want to say. But I think that we're not seeing decreases in cities that have opened up. And if that's the case, I don't see how they'll play.
All right, Pedro, thank you so much for joining us here.
Pedro.
We loved it. And have a great rest of your day, man.
Thanks, Pedro.
All right, guys. Take care, man.
You work hard for your business. So should we. That's why First Bank offers commercial real estate loans, business lines of credit, and online cash management solutions. With tools and services designed to make your business run easier, your day could have less this and more this. Visit eFirstBank.com/business to learn more. First Bank, business banking for good. Member FDIC.
First Bank. Banking for good.